in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 879. My name on this Wednesday is Lisa Sheps. I am joined, as used, by my wonderful, beautiful, and gorgeously smart co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Oh, hello.
You are listening to the two of us at KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live around the world at KOOP.org. We'll be right back.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Whether I'm right.
It is Wednesday, June 3rd, the very first show of our 18th season. You are listening to us, and on the show today, we have Penfold Theater Company and their show Vincent. Later on, we'll be speaking to Austin Playhouse and their production of Seared. And of course, we will have news and views of the world of theater, the Tonys, the Austin Critics Awards, and all other awards ceremony stuff. Stick with us.
The dream that I see makes me what I am.
I gotta be me.
You gotta be me.
I gotta be me too. I gotta be me.
I agree.
Okay, before I say anything, I'm just gonna take a moment to, you know, normally I wait to introduce our guests, but our guests are very special.
They are.
So I'm gonna get them on right away.
Let's talk to these people.
We have Ryan Crowder. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
And Nathan Jerkins.
Hi, that makes me feel special.
They are the brains behind the Penfold Theater Company.
So-called.
Brains, yeah. So that was Billy Porter singing I Gotta Be Me.
Yeah.
Which is not from a Broadway show. Did you know that?
It's all right.
Yeah. But it's from his album, Billy Porter Back on Broadway. So that counts. Gotta Be Me, that is in honor of Pride Month, which started roughly 3 days ago.
Monday.
And before I say anything about Pride,
tell me,
we
Lisa.
Are in the state of Texas.
Yes.
I need to say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or anybody else.
Just
it's
us.
Just me and my LGBTQ plus loving personality.
Yep.
That's
yep. it.
So it does, you know, Greg Abbott, leave me alone.
That's the show you're watching, listening to.
Gosh.
Don't watch this.
What a great international folk bazaar.
I was out dancing. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Kim Simpson.
Before the show, Kim Simpson.
Yeah. He's always
spinning good
and
music.
I loved it. And,
yes.
So there. I got all the freight out of the way right away. Anybody doing anything to celebrate Pride this month?
Well, we're going to be at Round Rock Pride, so if you're in the neighborhood, come by our table, say hello.
Yeah.
We'll be celebrating.
There. You know, somebody asked me if we were going to Round Rock Pride, and I said no.
What date is that?
You can swing by and hang out at our table.
When is Round Rock Pride?
It is
on my calendar.
Saturday from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m.
This coming
Saturday. Oh, that's
this Saturday. Coming Saturday.
And where is it in the downtown square area?
It's in the downtown, I believe, Centennial Plaza, if you know where that is.
Is this your first Round Rock Pride as Penfold Theater?
No. We have been there many years.
We have been there from the first year.
Of course, I know. I saw it every time I've gone.
Sure you have. Yes.
It is a growing, bigger and bigger bash
up in Williamson County every year, which is nice.
Some people might say Round Rock Pride is a contradiction in terms.
Maybe
well,
that was the
come
case.
Out and see.
I know. It's getting much better up.
Perhaps that
County.
Used to be the case, but it's not now.
Yeah, I know. I know. There's actually even a Georgetown Pride.
Whoa, good for them.
That's right. Yeah,
sure there is. Of course there is.
Well,
good job, Georgetown.
Relatively good news.
Yeah.
Shout out to Joe Ivester, who started that process, and now it's a relatively big thing.
Amazing.
Cool. So,
I like that little downtown Round Rock.
So yeah, Pride's good. So
it's adorable.
I like to go to New York in June and get all the Pride playbills.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
All of them.
Yes.
Are you going this month?
No, I'm not.
Oh. I would like to. I mean, I don't, but I like it. I like the idea of it.
In my current state of poverty, trips outside of my home are not in my budget anymore.
That's right.
Luckily, in this virtual world, we get to see what they all look like.
Yes, yes.
And the magic of shows and theater goers.
Well, there's something about holding that sucker.
Well, also, in the age of the digital world, most of those are available should you want to purchase them through various outlets.
Oh, interesting.
I would rather.
I know, I'm just saying.
I would rather purchase a $300 ticket and get one for free.
Well, sure, that's right.
$15 on a plane. I totally agree. I'm just saying.
No, you're right. You're right. It's out there. It's out there.
I should just shut up and be thankful.
No.
Whatever.
But there's something about physical media, about like holding the thing in your hand.
There is.
Like, I don't want to look at it on some TikTok or whatever.
This is an interesting thing. This has got nothing to do with any of the national stuff we typically talk about at this time. But as theater runners, as I am, we made the decisions. We talked as a staff about whether we go to virtual programs, just do the QR code. Which we did for our production of Parade. We decided to do the one-pager physical and the QR code for the rest. But when we were talking as a staff, I was one that says, you know, the first thing I do when I sit down in the audience
is read it.
Cover to cover.
So do I.
Cover to cover.
Me too. I do not like the virtual. Yeah.
Don't like
I
the
do
virtual.
Think it's great to offer both.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't want to always take them home and read them, so they're really good about also recycling them them. But I think you have to have both.
How do y'all feel?
To read it on the phone and scroll.
We tried it. We did, I think, about a season with digital playbills and kind of the one sheet.
Yep.
And I appreciate it from a environmental standpoint,
correct,
a resource conservation standpoint, all of that. But we did find that people just don't engage with it the way that they do with a physical playbill. And since one of the things about theater that's so important to me is theater as relationship, as community connection, and that little playbill does a lot of lifting in terms of building a relationship with the audience, because we only have so many opportunities to talk to them, and that is a fantastic tool.
You are physically here in the room with us. This is not a digital interaction. This is not through some
it's
sort
not
of filter.
A digital interaction,
right?
So why should it have digital props or side things to go with it?
Right.
Yes, and of course everything meshes together these days.
Correct.
Except I think one of the things that is golden about live local theater is the fact that it is so analog.
Yep. 100%. I mean, we talked about that a lot.
I go back and reread my playbills and programs and sometimes refer.
That's
like,
amazing. I can't say I do that.
Did I see them in that show? Or
I will do that.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't realize they were in this show when I'm going back to look at something.
I do that, but the only playbills I save are my Broadway show and Broadway tours playbills.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't have like a stack of Penfold.
Do you have a stack of Ground Floor ones for sentimental?
We do have.
We have all
too
of those.
Many, frankly. It's hard to throw them away. But what we do, because it is an environmental issue, we throw away a lot of those, and many people don't save them or don't recycle them. They just throw them away. We do ask people to share programs.
Yep.
When
a
group comes in, we say, can y'all just deal with one? And then we do the recycle thing, and people are pretty good about bringing them back.
They are really good about bringing them back, and they are really good about sharing.
Yeah,
too. Unless there's people like me, because like they will ask you that in New York too, and I'm like, no, we all need a separate playbill.
Yeah, sure.
Like
sure.
That's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. With
I paid for this.
Yeah. Well, when
this is part of the package. Yes, I want this.
But what's interesting in the West End, you have to.
You have to purchase your program.
Yes, you do not get them for free. Funny.
Don't worry, I already
pre-purchased
my program for Paddington.
Yeah, it's funny, I didn't. Mm-hmm. So the first time I went to a West End show, I was like, you like a program? I went, yes. And I grabbed it and they said, that'll be three keys.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that.
Isn't that wild?
See,
and it hasn't changed either.
See, I'm the cheap guy who was asked that when I was in London with my wife. And I said, oh, no, I'm fine. Oh, and I pulled it up on my phone. And I regret that. I should have bought it.
Yeah. So I'm sure that we will see a physical Paddington playbill But they don't call them playbills, do they?
They call them programs.
Programs.
Yes, and I will 100% be bringing it with Paddington into the studio with me that
playbill
day.
Is a...
program. I know.
Right. Playbill is a marketing name.
It's a, but yeah. You it's Kleenex.
Y'all
right.
call your programs playbills.
Well, I mean, personally, I call them playbills because... Program also means a lot of other things in our world, yeah. And so just
I think it's now like
confusion.
The term Kleenex.
I also use Kleenex like, for any sort of facial
tissue.
Tissue
is like, a tissue, but if people will be like, "Hand me a Kleenex,"
a garbage can.
That's right. Yeah. All the what?
So okay. I think it's just like yeah.
So I think
I don't.
Yeah, dumpster is a brand.
Is that no true?
Is it really
yes. wild?
It is.
The things I learned today when I was this many years old.
Crazy.
So,
I had no clue. That's cool.
It's true. Are y'all going to be watching the Tonys? Anybody?
Let's see. It's
Monday night.
This Sunday, you said?
Sunday night.
Sunday. I was like, yeah. Monday, yeah. They moved it?
We don't have a show. And yes, we'll
Sunday night.
Watch the thing.
So
I love watching the Tonys.
We talked last week that they had announced what shows were going to be performing. Mm-hmm. And since then, I mean, actually on Wednesday last week,
they announced another.
Which was Book of Mormon with many of the original cast. But they're also doing a 30th anniversary Chicago tribute.
Yes.
With Queen Latifah.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Julianne Hough.
Yes.
Adriana DeBose.
It's a great, strange combination.
Alex Newell. And let me, you probably know this person. So... Whitney Levitt.
Yeah, she's the Mormon housewives lady.
Really?
Did you see
how
my
do you
finger
do that?
Up here like this? Yeah. Not to do what you
okay.
just did.
Oh.
I had this finger up saying, don't say anything because I know you knew it.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I,
did
yes,
you both
I
know
give
it?
Up. I'm terrible
did you both
at that
know
game.
It?
No, no not
so
a
she's
chance.
She's actually broken records for them and has been starring in Chicago
yes.
for the past like 7 months. Ironically,
really?
When I was on the grounds of Leeds Castle, there was this one little this little girl kept staring at me, and I looked at her and I said, "Are you staring at me because I have a funny accent?" And her mom goes, "Oh," her mom Georgie, they're from like Liverpool area. She's like, "Oh, my daughter's obsessed with Americans." So I was talking to this girl forever.
That was a fine Liverpoolian.
So
accent.
Then she realized. She asked what I did. I told her I work in theater. She asked me, "Do you know Whitney, the Mormon housewife?" She was all it. Like, she knew she was in Chicago all the way back in America and who she was. Some random lady, Georgie, in Leeds.
All right. So anyway, that
That's
was a surprise.
Better informed than I am.
And I said, why don't I know this person? Yes. But also added to that list is Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Adrian Warren, and Dylan Mulvaney.
Oh, you know I love my Adrian Warren.
Dylan Mulvaney just finished her run up at Six.
That's yes, it. Yes, yes.
Sure.
And they just announced some more new queens in the Six today, I believe. But I forget who.
All right. So here's something I didn't, I'd never
Speaking
heard
of Leeds,
before.
Anne Boleyn was running that castle. Bring it back to
okay,
Six.
Good.
Just like
So I was scrolling around the internet and I saw these, actually I was reading the Broadway briefing and there was a little section that said, watch these people's Tony acceptance speech. And I went, what? The Tonys hasn't happened.
The archives, Lisa.
No, this is not archives. These are...
Random awards?
Yes, that they've already given out.
Oh.
The special awards.
Oh, hmm. Okay.
And evidently they... Well, I assume they pre-tape their award speeches if they're not in person.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't...
I didn't realize it was that much earlier. Yeah. I thought it was like...
Yeah, no, I watched...
I knew it was earlier in the day or the weekend.
I watched the League of Resident Theaters give their acceptance.
And how was it?
I forgot her name.
Oh.
Do you know what theater it was?
No, that was... So the League...
Oh, the League got it.
Lord. Got an award.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But the actual... I can't remember the
it's
name
It's in
of
Wisconsin,
it.
Right?
Yeah, it's I forgot the theater.
I think
we
it's in Wisconsin. We did talk about it. It's Midwest if it's not Wisconsin.
Okay. Tony honors Lauren Plotkin, who's an entertainment attorney. Jake Bell of, didn't even say.
Jake Bell?
And then, yeah. So I'd never heard of that before.
No, I haven't either.
Oh, good.
Again, we learned something new. Dumpsters and
pre-recorded.
And Jake
Tony.
Bell.
And Jake Bell. Who's Jake Bell?
Yes,
Who is Jake Bell?
Do we have a favorite for best musical, best play? Best musical, The Lost Boys, Schmigadoon, Titanic, and Two Strangers Carry Across New York.
It's a toss-up between the Schmigadoon and the Lost Boys, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Schmigadoon.
Yeah.
So. It's interesting that you have Schmigadoon and Titanic, which are both like spoof shows.
Spoofy shows. Yeah. I love that Titanic's up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love that Titanic's up there, too.
If Titanic wasn't up there with the other stuff, Titanic probably would have been at the front.
Sure.
Best play, The Ballisters, Giant Liberation, and Little Bear Ridge Road.
Probably Little Bear Ridge Road.
I don't know. But I was listening to an interview with one of the actors from Liberation. That just sounds
Liberation, you know what? I think Liberation might sweep up a lot.
Okay. So, revival musical, Cats, Ragtime, or Rocky Horror Show?
That's a hard one. I think it's between Cats and Ragtime, which is a strange combination to say.
I think it's going to be Cats.
Well, they didn't. Is Ragtime very different? I've heard they didn't depart too much.
No, they didn't. No. It's a revival.
Yeah.
Jellicle Ball is totally
And Rocky Horror Show is pretty much the same, isn't it?
Well, no, because there's no audience participation, Lisa.
Well, you know what I mean. Oh, my God. I should have known better than to bring that up.
Just saying. They took the fun out of the
I should have brought that. So anyway, that's the Tonys. I will be watching them.
But you didn't talk about Play Revival. I think it's a toss-up between Death of a Salesman and the Every Brilliant Thing.
Mm. It'll be Salesman. It always wins.
When did Every Brilliant Thing have its first run? It doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
I don't know.
I think it started I don't know. I was about to go right with you.
If it was pre-pandemic, then it doesn't matter. My brain just squidges.
I want to say 99, though. I think it might be 99 or 2001, but it was a while ago.
But the choices are Death of a Salesman, Becky Shaw, Every Brilliant Thing, Fallen Angels, and Oedipus, which I refuse to call Oedipus.
I know, which
I refuse.
If these other ones hadn't been up there at the same round, that probably would have taken everything also. Yeah. So I don't know. Although that got great notices.
It did. They all got great notices.
Yeah. So I don't know.
All right. Here's something interesting about last Broadway season. Speaking of that, I saw this headline and I didn't believe it. The headline says the 25-26 Broadway season is the highest grossing in recorded history.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
With the amount of shows not recouping, but however, I should say musicals.
Interestingly
straight
enough,
plays, yes.
Every 7 years, I think they add a show. So most years are 52 weeks a year, but for some reason, every 7 years they have to add a week because of the wacky way.
Leap year?
I guess. So last year was a 53-week year, and it was still less. So this year they grossed $1.9 billion.
Wow.
And the year before that was 1.89. But a decrease in attendance.
I was about
decrease
to say.
In attendance.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Higher ticket price. Tickets,
Six.
Yeah, it's not by a lot.
Not
it wasn't a
lot.
A big
no.
Sure.
But I found that interesting.
Uh-huh.
But we still haven't hit the peak attendance season from pre-pandemic.
No.
That has not happened.
Sure.
Yet. Oh boy, we're chit-chatting away and let's see.
You better talk about the one thing I sent you.
Chicago.
Oh, okay.
No. Rent.
Yes.
Rent Chicago.
That was it.
They're the same thing to me. Yes, I did send it. And so Rent, we talked about their 30th anniversary.
Concert. That's for Broadway Cares.
Sold out immediately.
Like seconds.
Really?
Pretty much almost the whole original cast is coming back.
And so what are they doing, Nicole?
They are offering it as a live stream, so you can go on and purchase a price. And I went on to check it out. I thought it was really cool. There's like a suggested price, but you could do more because it's a fundraiser.
You could do more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can you do less?
I think you can.
Okay.
But you can now watch it from home, and they're going to live stream the actual one night only event. Okay. It's raising money for Broadway Cares.
It happens in October, I think.
October 10th or October 20th. 26th
At the Richard Rogers Theater,
go ahead. No, they started the Nederlander.
Are they streaming through their website or through?
No, it's Broadway Cares.
Nope.
Yeah,
there's it's called the League of Livestream Theater.
Yes.
And that's where you get your link, and tickets are on sale now for that.
But when you go to Broadway Cares, you click it. It says the live stream, and it takes you to that league of
sounds like
live theaters.
Live stream watch party to me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah,
well,
we'll throw a big thing.
Can't say that out loud.
No,
but yes. Where did I just see it? I saw it, but I didn't highlight it. I want to test you guys. How long did Rent run for? How many years?
Oh, no.
Okay, I would say two. You can either answer in years or number of performances.
Oh.
I'm going to say it was like, wasn't it like 10 years?
I'm gonna up and say 11.
Ryan? You could win without going over.
I bid $1.
9.
No, it was 12 years.
12.
Yeah!
I almost said 12, too, and I was like, no, it's just
5,000. No, it seemed longer than a decade. That was...
5,123 performances.
Wow.
Oh. Closed in 2008
If
September.
Only it made it to 521,600. Wouldn't that have been... That would have been so good.
The cast album is a certified two-time multi-platinum.
Yeah.
I mean, they sold more than 2 million units.
Wow. Amazing.
I had that album poster hanging on my wall in college.
Man.
It was like everything.
Yeah.
Or not even, after college, because I was living in New York because I saw the original subs after college.
I feel like there are musicals that define a decade, and Rent is that to me.
Yeah.
It is.
I associate it with the 90s, not the aughts, but...
But I... Yeah.
But maybe that's because I was in high school.
It closed into that. It is a 90s.
And that's because, you know, as theater people, it came to our consciousness right when it showed up and not 12 years later when it was rolling
off.
No,
I was living in New York. I saw the workshop. I would stand in line and get the lottery tickets to see it at Nederlander. Like, it was my everything.
Nicole, remember, you and I are much older than Nathan and
I know.
Brian.
No, it was all over my high school, and it was all over your college.
Here's my public
and that was
service
it.
Announcement as an old person to you all. Remember to lotion your elbows, knees, and the back of your hands.
That's true. That's true.
Shoulders, knees, and toes. All right.
Really? Quickly.
We have to roll
on.
We're
sunscreen.
We have to roll on. Here's an interesting thing. I just want to talk about this before we go. The Drama Bookshop is going to be giving away free copies of Giant. To students, if they come in and show a valid student ID, starting on last Monday, of course it's on a first come first serve. But this is—I just want to read this paragraph from this article, which I got.
And this would be Giant the play.
Giant the play, yes.
With John Lithgow about Roald Dahl, not
correct.
Not Giant the musical correct. Or the movie we know
so
of.
So the producers of Giant on Broadway said, "We believe the next generation of playwrights and theater artists should have access to bold, urgent new work that challenges audience and sparks conversation. Giant speaks directly to the moment we're living in, and we're thrilled to partner with Drama Bookshop to help place this play into the hands of students and emerging artists."
So cool.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Final thing I want to talk about is The Last Ship. Sting's musical.
Oh, Sting.
Yeah.
They're doing it again.
I know.
On Broadway?
On the West End.
No,
the West
over End. In
at the Drury Lane. But he has changed it. Relatively new script. But this and has new songs. This one has already toured. It's been to Amsterdam, Brisbane, and Paris.
Wow. Yes.
There will be a performance at the Met in New York, and it is starring Sting.
Yes, I was like, and he put himself in it.
Yeah.
It closed, what, a decade? Maybe 12 years ago?
Yeah.
I could probably tell
like
you.
Eight,
hold on, I can tell you.
Eight
because,
or nine,
no,
maybe?
No, I can't. It was a while ago.
Yeah. But yeah, see, he's doing
2011.
What, he's doing what American Psycho just did. Rewrote the whole thing, do it over.
Oh,
in the
no,
West
sorry,
End,
2014.
Bring
was
it back
the
around.
Mm-hmm. 12 years. Okay.
All right.
Said, like,
so let's take a break and let's listen to from The Last Ship. And this, I chose this because it's so unstingy.
Unstingy?
It's unstingy.
Or
it's
unstingy.
Very, it's unstingy. It's very musical comedy, and it didn't impress me as a Sting song, so I thought I'd do it.
He was just here in the Texas play.
This is called Mrs. D's Rent. We'll be right back. When I was a maiden, truly such dreams would. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air on Co-op Radio, 91.7 on your FM dial. We have Nicole and Ryan and Nathan here with us.
Woo.
And we're going to reintroduce Ryan and Nathan, in case you didn't know, because they are now here in their official capacity as representing Penfold Theater Company. They are co-founders, not co-artistic directors. Co-artistic directors of Penfold Theater Company. Ryan Crowder, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Nathan Jerkins, welcome to the show.
Hi.
And I should also say, in this capacity, you are also actors.
Ta-da!
Yes, that's ta-da!
This is a show called Vincent, about Vincent Scapelli, who ran a deli on 34th Street.
Yes,
no,
we wanted to do it because it rhymed. Right? Scapelli and deli. I was sold from that moment.
Scapelli, it would have been better if it was in India. Scapelli, the deli in Delhi.
Right, there you go.
There it is. I'm just slow today.
One of you, please tell us what this show is.
Great. So this is a play by Leonard Nimoy. When he wasn't doing Spock on Star Trek, he was touring the country, the world, with this play that is about the life of Vincent Van Gogh.
And he was performing it, correct?
And he performed in the solo role. And it is based on actual letters that we have that were written back and forth between Vincent and his brother Theo over the course of about 12 years. You can actually go and read these letters. I know Nicole was at the museum in Amsterdam.
I read the letters and I saw the desk that Theo kept all said letters in.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And so
there's that Van Gogh Museum has probably a third of it is Vincent or Theo in it because their relationship and their lives are so intertwined.
That's
in
right.
Art.
When we've started this project, I knew only the headlines, really. The Starry Night, The Ear, and that was about it. But the play gives you such an intimate picture of Van Gogh's life and of this special relationship, because Theo so loved and admired his brother, but also he was a hard person to love.
Yeah.
He would do these crazy things, and Theo would have to pick up the pieces. And also, he was not kind to himself. No. And, you know, it can be hard to love someone who is not kind to themselves. And so the play basically is an invitation to have compassion on artists and other weirdos, because what I think the thesis is, like, this person had something so precious and special to offer, but the reason that was true was because he was different. And there's a line in the play that I keep coming back to. Theo says, I have heard it said among you that he was mad, he was strange, he was not like us. And then he says, yes, he was different, and you are blessed by that difference because he gave you beauty. And so, to me, that is
darn tootin'.
Yeah, the heart of the play, 100%. and what Theo is trying to tell the audience. The conceit is these are friends that Theo has gathered because there's something on his heart he has to say about Vincent.
One of the things I most love about this show is that it's a one-person show about the life of Vincent Van Gogh, but the character up on stage isn't Vincent.
No.
It's his brother Theo. So yes, it's a story about beauty and art and finding like the passion and joy and all of the things in life around you. But yes, it's ultimately a story about trying to love and care for a family member who has a mental illness. And also, as Ryan was saying, that Vincent has, you know, inarguably amazing gifts to offer the world. And the only reason he was able to do that is because he had a Theo, like, to take care of him and to help him get through all the stuff he was working through long enough to provide that to the world. And I think of all the people who it's easy to write off, who you wouldn't immediately think have anything to offer the world, and that's what happened to Vincent. Like, he was tossed out by a lot of people because he was a terribly hard person to love. I don't blame the people who had said, no, listen, I can't deal with that. You're on your own, kid. But Vincent had a Theo to hold him and make space for him and support him. And because of Theo, Vincent was able to offer the world the brilliance that we all sort of mutually agree upon. And absolutely, that is from the genius of Vincent Van Gogh, and also would not have been possible without Theo, the character that's on the stage in this play.
Amazing. And just real quick, this is not in the play.
Ryan and I make it a point not to talk about the play because we're doing different versions of it.
That's right. This is not in the play, but I also want to call out Johanna, who is Theo's wife,
right,
because Vincent passes away not long after at all Theo passes away.
Like 6 months or something,
and
yeah.
And at that point, Vincent's work still has not really gained traction. It's Johanna who then takes Vincent's legacy and introduces him to the broader world.
So often happens with artists.
Yeah. Unsung hero.
It's interesting to learn that... that I learned in the museum, a lot of the pieces that we love or know Vincent for is a lot of Theo behind the scenes mending fences between Chagall and all of these, because all these artists were friends, and or getting the paints or the opportunity that allowed these things we love were because of Theo in the background, not just Van Gogh's artistry.
Yeah. Even that solitary genius that we like to hold up, he's not by himself. Yeah. Like, no, it takes a village. Yeah.
So I have a question about your show.
Yeah.
Which is what we're here to talk about. You mentioned this is a one-person show, a solo performance, correct?
Sure. Yeah.
But I just said that you are both actors in this show. Can you explain how this is possible?
Sure. So we're alternating night to night in the role. We're taking turns. We're not doing it at the same time.
Yo, my brain would break.
Yeah, we did discuss
that's right.
options.
We'll alternate words. See how far we can go.
And it's fascinating because it is so different. The show is so different. I had an acting teacher who once said, if you want to see how different two people are, have them stand on stage and do the same thing.
Yep.
And that is very true in this production. Last time we did it at the Ground Floor Theater 3 years ago, I came to see Nathan's performance on closing night, and I literally had the script memorized and had no idea what was about to happen because it was so different. And, you know, we're in Tech Week right now, and we had the same experience with our design team. You know, I go up, I do my thing, I leave, Nathan goes up, does his thing, and they're all just like, that was a completely different show.
Well, and kudos to our director, Beth Burns, who meets with each of us separately. I'm not in Ryan's rehearsals. Ryan's not in my rehearsals. And Beth comes up to each rehearsal and encourages us to develop our own show differently, and has let us run in different directions so that, yes, during rehearsals, occasionally there had been designers check-ins, but because of our schedule, those had always been on nights when Ryan was there and not me. And then I show up at Tech and I leave, and several of them are like,
do you have to do different stage plots for lighting for each of your performances?
No, which is, you know, bless our lighting designers, heart for trying to design something that will catch both of us. that is quite an act. But no, our blocking's different and our builds are different. And anyway, a whole lot of it is different. But I finish my run during Tech for the first time in front of the designers, and they all finish, and they're all like, huh, like that's a whole other show than I thought I was designing for. And I was like, oh good. and yet, they were timed. And I think to the minute it was the same runtime.
Yeah.
And still, anyway, this bizarrely different spin.
Yeah. Well, so that's interesting. We know you had done this 3 years ago and it was, you kept it separate, but this is basically a revival. It's a different director, isn't it?
Yeah,
was it
same Beth? Director.
Oh, same director.
For some reason, I had Liz Fisher in my mind from 3 years ago.
We do work with Liz Fisher a lot.
I know
she's
you
great.
Do. Yeah. But okay, so it was Beth last time. But so we had talked 3 years ago about how y'all kept separate. But this is in the past, so you remember your performance. How have your performances individually changed in the 3 years?
Oh, well, I don't know. So I think works of art, and especially as an actor inside a story, that like they change as you change. And I don't know about you, listening audience, who you were 3 or 4 years ago. I'm a slightly different person than that person. And so I approach it with with a new sort of set of knobs on my console, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I have kids that are getting older, and they are dealing with a lot of their drama and trying to find their place in the world and trying to figure out how art can be magical. And anyway, I feel like I have not a larger capacity for empathy, but my empathy spins in different corners sure. than it mm-hmm. used to spin to. And so there are stories within the script. There are moments and character interactions that are just fundamentally different to me now than they were the last time. And I wonder where was that? And then I reach for something that I remembered being there. And I was like, that's a dumb choice. Why did I do that? It's just not there anymore. So I think the show changes because we change.
Sure.
Yeah. That's cool.
Ryan?
Well, something that I don't know how much it comes out in the playing of it, but just my awareness of the piece is that this story feels more relevant now than it did when we started. And we actually started our journey with this play in 2020 because we're about to open at the ground floor before the pandemic
right.
hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been living with this yeah. world for a long time.
This is the show we canceled when the pandemic hit at the beginning of 20.
And the idea that we need to protect those who are different because they have something special feels more important now than it
sure.
used to.
Yeah.
But also, since the last time we did this, I am the father of two young children. And so there's a lot, and you know, they're two boys and they're 3 years apart and I'm going to start tearing up. But when I think of someone, because Theo is the younger brother in this pair. And I think there's a part of him that just so admires and loves his brother, but also has had to live his life as the older brother yeah. in a way. And when I see the way that my boys interact, that relationship just feels it just feels closer to me in some ways. And so that's been interesting to discover. You know, you pick up the script, you start living with the words, you don't know how it's going to hit you until you start to live with it again.
So. It's also, I think, akin to the fact that in live theater, night to night, different performances can feel very differently
yep.
because the audience feels very differently.
Right.
And so it is a similar feeling to that, but kind of to a greater extreme.
And I'll just call out as something about Beth's direction. She has really crafted this as a time that feels very personal with the audience. The idea is
yeah.
that you are being invited into Theo's parlor, that he has gotten together close friends and families for this moment to honor his brother. And so the audience is very present.
Yep. Yeah.
We are plumb out of time.
Sure.
Tell
no.
us when this show opens.
We open
Thursday.
Thursday?
Tomorrow.
The 4th.
I open tomorrow. Ryan opens Friday.
And then how long does it play?
Through the 21st.
If folks want to get more information, of course, they get an opportunity to see two different shows, so they would want to come to both.
Oh, yeah.
Where can folks go to see more information? And I'm assuming they would know who's on.
It's on the website,
yeah,
yes.
You go penfoldtheater.org. On the show's website, there's a schedule so you can
yep.
pick.
Go see Ryan Crowder. He's amazing.
Wonderful.
And Nathan Jurgis.
Y'all are great.
You loving each other.
Well, thank you all so much for being on the show
once again. Thank you for having me.
I
look forward to seeing it again.
Thank you.
Okay. That was Ryan Crowder and Nathan Jurgis of Penfold Theater Company's production of Vincent, playing June 4th through the 21st at Penfold Theater. For more information, you may visit penfoldtheater.org. And this is from the concept album of a musical called Starry about Vincent van Gogh. This is called Sunlight and Storms. We will be right back.
Theo has said so much about you.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. You know, I want to make sure we have enough time to talk to Austin Playhouse.
Yeah.
So we're going to basically blast right into this. But before we start blasting into it, the citywide auditions were held on Saturday and Sunday of last weekend. And they were just great.
Did you have fun?
I did have fun. It's great on so many different levels.
Did you see
we get
people?
To see, yeah, there were several hundred actors that came
through.
Oh,
wow, that's a lot.
And it's really amazing to see the talent that we have here in Austin. And not only the talent, but the heart.
Yes.
There were a few people that came in that had never done anything before. It was their very first audition. And all of the people in the audience, which were all theater runners, were very encouraging. And it's also great for us as people that run theaters and produce theaters, all sitting in together for, you know, 6 hours
for
2 days.
For a long period of time,
it really kind of cements that community feeling that we've come to love here in
That's
Austin.
Cool.
So it was a really great experience. All right, let's go through. You start.
Okay, the Austin Critics Awards, June 8th at the State Theater.
Tickets, I think, are still available.
I think so.
I think so. Glass Half Full opens Frutos de Muerte at Ground Floor Theater. They were on the show last week.
They were. That's 4th through the 14th.
Oh, thank you.
Austin Playhouse has two shows. Irma Bombeck at Wits End playing now through the 14th. Mm. And Seared, who we're going to talk to in a moment, opening June 5th and running through the 28th.
And then Kung Fu Cowgirl had they had two performances. This is a solo Chinese play of Family and Hope. They were also on the show. They have one performance left on the 6th.
Alchemy Theater is putting on The Robber Bridegroom. It's running now through the 14th. That's playing over at Zach's Wizenhunt Theater.
And Penfold Theater, we just heard them. It's playing Vincent, June 4th through 21st.
Georgetown Palace Theater is doing Jesus Christ Superstar now through July 5th.
And we should say that this was their first show back in the theater that had been closed.
From the floods.
From the floods.
Yes.
Every brilliant... Oh, you keep going. This
oh, okay.
Is
and they're also doing... Oh, yes, right. There was no semicolon there, was there? Every Brilliant Thing is also playing June 19th through July 19th.
And Dirty Gold Theater has the Insomnia Cafe June 4th. To the 13th at the stage.
And City Theater is doing A Raisin in the Sun June 12th through the 28th.
And they all will be on, I think, next week. Our auditions, Georgetown Palace has And Then There Were None on the 14th. Working Poets Double Feature on June 6th. Star Bandit Foundation has auditions for their Stargaze Theater Festival on the 6th. Zahir Productions, who we will get on the show, has got a show called The Egg on June 21st. And I did meet Zahir Production people at the citywide auditions.
Oh!
Rainbow Theater, Austin Rainbow Theater is auditioning for The Recipe Box on June 15th. City Theater is doing Avenue Q. It's been a while since we've had a production of that. Those auditions are on the 16th and the
17th. We took Dale Watson to that, remember?
I think we did.
He laughed his tuchus off.
And then we forgot to talk to them about this, but Penfold Theater Company is auditioning for Every Christmas Story Ever Told and Then Some on June 23rd. And today in theater history.
A whole bunch of stuff happened.
Yep. Oh, good. We're doing good on time.
Someone give someone whose birthday was it, Lisa, and what show opened?
Well, we're going to talk about shows first, I think.
Oh, okay.
Well, we already discussed it. Chicago opened in 1975.
That would be the original one.
Yes.
Not this revival one.
Right. So, yeah, Chicago has an interesting story.
This would be the Cheetah Rivera and the Gwen Burton and the Jerry Orbach.
When it opened, it was not very well received.
Nope, not at all.
And then it was a City Center Encores production.
It was with the Anne Rankin and the Joel Grey and the B.B. Newworth.
And that one is now currently still running, longest running show, I think,
and
ever.
That originally opened when it was remounted back in that late 99. That was at the Schubert. Before then they moved because now they're at a different theater.
Yep.
But it's been going.
On this date in 1990, we had the 44th annual Tony Awards. Who can remember what won that year?
I don't remember what won, but I mean, I was around.
It was, I was going to make something up. I don't know. and then a show called By Jupiter opened in 1942. It looks like it starred Ray Bolger.
Interesting.
That is Ray Bolger. That's a picture of him.
Okay.
In 1980... And I forgot to look this up. I want to know what this was. This is called It's So Nice to Be Civilized.
Oh, I remember this title, but
do you?
I couldn't. Yes, I do, but
it's
I don't remember
fun,
this show.
Look at the playbill. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. Oh.
I'm going to, you know what? We have Ben Wolf.
Let's talk to, yeah.
We're going to make sure their microphones are on. They're here. We may as well let them. Sure. May as well let them talk.
We'd love to.
Ben and Devin Fenn are here. Hi.
Hello.
Good. That's all we have. That's all we have time for.
Okay.
And goodbye.
Thank you for being here.
Had y'all ever heard of It's So Nice to Be Civilized?
I have not.
Me no either. Way. No.
But
no.
Did
no.
you see this? It looks like a fun.
Yeah, it looks.
That's and I crazy. Don't know whether it was a musical or what.
I don't remember. Don't know.
And The Bandwagon opened in 1931.
Woo!
I actually should have done... Anyway, never mind. Birthdays, Nikki M. James.
Oh, I love... You know I love
She was
Nikki
just
M.
in
James.
Something that she I was. Saw. Barbara Walsh.
Okay.
Colleen Dewhurst, born in 1924. Josephine Baker.
Who doesn't love Josephine Baker?
1906.
I want to know when our fantastic girl is going to come do the Josephine Baker show over here. Oh, my gosh. Kush Jumbo.
Oh,
she
okay.
wrote that Josephine Baker show. I know. And Kush she's Jumbo. Done it on the West End a whole bunch. Hello, Kush Jumbo. Please listen to me.
So, you know what? It just dawned on me. I didn't. So The Bandwagon was written by Comden and Green. And I actually took the Wikipedia page of the film, not the play. So I don't have any of the people. But in the film, it starred Fred Astaire, Sid Charisse, Oscar Levant, Nanette Fabre, amongst others. It was directed by Vincent Minnelli, whose Vincent daughter Minnelli. Is relatively well known.
That Liza.
A little.
Liza with an S.
Mm. Liza with an S. Exactly.
Not Lisa with a Z.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Vincent lives on in his art. They still do the toy soldiers and have his original costumes in the Rockettes every single year.
There you go. Yep. But here's one of my, I love this oldie song. And I know it more from not this show because I've never seen The Bandwagon, but I've seen it on lots of variety shows from back in the day because it's so much fun. And I think there's one variety show that had Nanette Fabre. It might have been Fred Astaire, Sid Charisse. Anyway, but I remember seeing their faces. It's called Triplets. I think you may recognize the song.
All right.
We will be right back.
We do everything alike. We look alike. We dress alike. We walk alike. We talk alike.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on 91.7 on your FM dial. You got me. You got Nicole. You got Ben. You got Devin.
Yeah.
I'm now going to officially introduce Ben and Devin, so
nice.
Stand by.
Please.
These are the folks that from the Austin Playhouse production of Seared. We have Ben Wolf.
Hello.
Who is not only in the play, but is also Associate Artistic Director.
Associate Artistic Director, that's correct.
You remembering titles today,
nice.
Lisa.
I know, it's crazy. And Devin Fenn, who's not only an actor, but is official title of just a really great guy.
It's on my resume.
Yeah, I'll buy that one.
That's what I am.
So Ben, as in your official duties as Associate Artistic Director, mm-hmm. what the heck is this play Seared about? It's a... Rebeck, Teresa
Rebeck. Teresa. It's set in a boutique New York City kitchen.
Do you say boutique or boutique?
I say boutique.
Do you say boutique too?
Okay, good.
I've never heard boutique.
Yeah,
in my
I just
life.
Made it up.
I think you're
I think.
Right.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
The chef Harry, played by the inimitable Devin Fenn, has recently received a great review for one of his dishes, and then Mike, the money man, wants to capitalize on that moment, and the egos clash, tempers flare, and you get to spend a whole play trying to figure out whether he's going to make this dish for me or not.
Hilarity ensues.
And hilarity.
Yeah. And food.
And food. It's
and
yeah.
food.
Cook live on stage. There are both acts open with
yeah,
some
live
cooking.
Yeah, what are you cooking? I saw that in the when you look on the website, it says cooking food. So
cooking
if you
food.
Have any allergies, you better deal with it.
Or eat before you show up because you will leave hungry.
It will smell like a lot of food.
It
yeah.
He's cooking some snapper.
Snapper.
Some wilted spinach salad. The second act opens with a wonderful salmon dish.
That one start to finish, y'all. It's going
to
be...
Now, are you actually cooking it to its completion? Are you making a dish? Or...
Yes, I'm cooking it to its completion.
In theory, well, no, yes. We have to eat it on stage.
It's live
so.
Theater, though, so, you know, things happen sometimes.
As you know, Devin and I, we worked together on a show where there was cooking on stage.
That's
and we
right.
didn't necessarily cook them to completion.
No, yeah. Those sandwiches walk so this salmon can run.
It was more it. About the magic of theater than the goodness of food. Well, great. Well, Devin, do you have experience cooking?
I mean, to survive, I guess, to eat food. I'm not
have
like
you
a,
ever worked in a
no,
kitchen?
No. I've never been a cook or a chef or anything like that. I like to get inspired in the kitchen, but it's really just for baked goods.
Oh, which is harder, hey, because that's a science.
And I'm not great at it, let's be honest.
I wouldn't say it's harder. I would say it's different.
You can't improvise in baking with the science of baking like you can improvise in a dish.
I know. But you went
to culinary school. You know these things.
I know this thing. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying it's different. It's not, one is not easier than the other. I cannot bake to save my life. For that very reason.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm about to make the same salmon dish 26 times in a row, so it's probably going to be pretty good by the time this runs over.
No, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll open up a little
food truck. You should have a backstage tally rating the dishes leave like a comment card.
I do want to clear up a mystery that has nothing to do with this show, but has everything to do with Austin Playhouse.
Okay.
You did a marvelous production of Fat Ham.
Thank you.
In which there was barbecue on stage.
It was.
Now when I was there, I did not smell anything, but I heard y'all actually had some barbecue-y stuff happening up there for scent sake.
We did set magic. So there was smoke coming out of the grill.
Scent-a-vision.
I saw the smoke, but I did not smell the barbecue.
There was no actual cooking on stage, but there was some live.
There
was
some rumors liquid smoke.
And guess what? Liquid smoke, because I do have a coloring. Guess what liquid smoke is made out of?
Liquid smoke?
Soy sauce.
Smoke.
Smoke.
Oh, they take this, they do smoke, and they condense, they put a hood, they chill it, and the steam comes up, and the liquid that comes out is smoke liquid.
Anyway, that's great. We did use some liquid smoke in that smoke.
Back to seared. I'm assuming the salmon is a seared salmon.
Yeah. That's cooked in a pan.
Was done in 2016 in San Francisco. This has not made it into New York yet for full production, has it?
I thought it did. Off-Broadway.
Off-Broadway. It had it right after the run at the Alley, I think.
Oh. Yeah. What's that actor's name? Raul
Esparza.
He played Harry.
Yes, because I wanted to go see it, and I couldn't. It closed the week before I could get the...
Shows you how much Wikipedia knows.
Yeah. I love me some Raul Esparza. Okay. Just saying.
Amazing. And how many characters in this? And also, side question... What character do you play, Ben?
Sure, absolutely. So there are four actors, four characters. I play Mike, the money man. We are in partnership. Devin is Harry, the chef. We also have Adrian Chante playing Rodney, our intrepid waiter who is loyal to the restaurant. And then Sarah Zarang plays Emily, the consultant that I bring in that might prove a bit of a sticking point.
Oh, okay.
The big point of conflict.
We need some conflict in a play. Uh-huh. I know y'all are going to do a little scene, are you not?
Yeah, we'll whip one up.
Do you want to
spicy? If you
want to set
the
scene up for our audience, somebody.
At this point, we've been introduced to the consultant, and we've just had a great big night. And I have just learned a little secret that probably wasn't supposed to be shared with me. And this is our contentious point.
Great. Well,
you're not going to tell them the secret? They'll
find out.
We're going to find out.
All right. We'll see.
All right. This is Ben Wolf and Devin Finn doing a scene from Austin Playhouse's production of Seared.
We are partners.
Is that right?
For 2.5 years, I've been trying to put us into the black enough to make just enough money to make a little bit of my investment back.
Which is why you get to keep your tips.
My tips go into the till. My tips are part of the income that goes into the rent and the upkeep and the endless soul-sucking pursuit of the best cuts of meat and the impossible scallops. You pull a salary.
Neither one of us is getting rich, Mike. That's not why we did this.
You're getting a lot richer a lot faster than I am.
Half that kid's tips are hardly making me rich.
Then why are you taking them?
Everybody shares tips.
Then why was it a secret? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't we pool all the tips?
What's your point?
You are not entitled to that kid's tips. You pull a salary.
You pull a salary.
We had a deal.
Is this like an ethical question?
Yeah!
It's an ethical question!
Because here's another ethical question. Why did you hire a consultant without consulting me?
I hired a consultant because this restaurant is broke. I'm broke. And you would be broke, too, if you weren't stealing tips from that kid who works his tail off for you and adores you.
I am broke. I just don't mind being broke as long as it means I get to do whatever I want.
Well, you're about to be more broke. Let's see if you mind that. Because if you had been as broke as me all along, maybe you'd understand why we can't stay this broke. But you don't understand yet because you're living off that kid's tips.
I got it.
Good. Because we are all
going to sink or swim in this together.
That's not what we've been doing?
Apparently not.
End scene.
It's great. I love the pacing.
Thank you.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Would you? Is this a comedy, dramedy? What do we classify?
Yeah, it's a comedy with dramatic elements. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I put it into the dramedy category, but a fun, fast-paced.
You'll laugh. You'll be like, uh-oh. You're like, ooh. Yeah. You know.
There's a lot of reactions. Conflict, you know. Right. But it's all conflict with love.
Yeah.
Wonderful. We're running out of time.
Okay.
Do we want to bring our kiddos to this?
I would say no.
Probably not.
Very R-rated language, though. My 6-year-old has sat in on the last few rehearsals.
Well,
but she just laughs.
We got a good laugh from her last night.
There you go. 6-year-old laugh. Well, thank y'all so much for... tell me when the show opens and when you close.
The show opens this Friday, runs June 5th through the 28th. All information can be found on our website, austinplayhouse.com.
Great. Well, thank y'all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. That was Ben Wolf and Devin Finn of Austin Playhouse's production of Seared, playing June 5th through 28th at the Austin Playhouse. For more information, austinplayhouse.com. And of course, I had to do Food Glorious Food, but...
You did a funky fun version?
In the spirit of Dee Does Broadway.
Oh, you did Dee Snider.
This is not Dee Snider, but this is Metamorphosis.
Okay.
Nice.
Food Glorious Food. We'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. We just have time to say goodbye. We're setting up for Tracy Schultz. He's going to tell you...
What's new?
What's new, Pussycat?
What's new with Tracy Schultz?
Yep. And we are going to leave with, they just released a Spanish language version of Six that's opening in Spain.
Okay.
This is Ex-Wives, the only song that's available currently, but I believe they'll be releasing the entire album. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Adios.
Adios.
Divorciada. Decapitada. Enterrada.
Divorciada.
Decapitada. Salvada. Y hoy, aquí, cantamos las seis. ¿Cómo? Hoy tendréis una clase de historia. La clase con más clase que veréis. Sabéis de nuestra fama, la trama, las fechas.
Los logros y también las cosas mal hechas.
Ya está, me planto aquí, marcaré.